Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
Jesus knew full well, being omniscient, all-knowing God, that there would be distinctions within His church. There would be branches among believers. There would be different expressions. That there are differences and distinctions on minor points of doctrine and non-essentials to the faith. But on the real essentials, on the foundational truths, on the basics of the Christian life, we will agree. So Jesus prayed in John 17:22 that they may be one just as we are one.
On today's PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about what it takes to live in true Christian fellowship. Now here's Dr. Graham with his message, The Secret of Unity.
What we have in John 17 is the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ as our intercessor, as our mediator, praying for us. And you are in this prayer. He prays for you. So take off your shoes this morning. We are walking on holy ground. We are, as it were, in the very presence of the Lord as He prays for us. He prays for our salvation. He prays for our spiritual growth. And He prays for our security. He also prays for our spiritual unity. Even as He faced the final hours, before He faced His accusers, His antagonists, and the onslaughts of hell, Jesus prayed. Jesus was a man of prayer. In His humanity, He walked in dependence upon God the Father, and even though He was pure, even though He was perfect, even though He was powerful in His humanity, He prayed to the Father. And if Jesus prayed in all of His power and perfection, oh, how we ought to pray in our imperfection and in our inability, how dependent we must be upon the Father. And so Jesus prays what we would call the real Lord's Prayer. What we often call the Lord's Prayer is the model prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. But this is the prayer that Jesus Himself prayed, first for Himself, then for His disciples, and then for all of us. It just takes a short time to read this prayer in its entirety, 6 or 7 minutes. It's very brief and to the point, but without a doubt, it's the greatest prayer that's ever been prayed. The great British preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "Some pray by the yard, but real prayer is measured by weight, not length." I recall the story of the famed preacher D.L. Moody as they'd called upon a man to pray in one of the services, and this brother just went on and on and on and on in his prayer. While the man was praying, Moody stood up and said, "All right, while this dear brother finishes his prayer, let's stand and sing hymn number 400. We're not heard for the logic of our prayers or for the length of our prayers, but for the depth of our prayers and for the commitment of our prayers. And so when we listen to Jesus praying for us, specifically this morning, I want us to focus in John chapter 17 on the 20th through the 23rd verse for now. And this is the prayer which shares the secret of unity. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Now he's talking about you and he's talking about me. And here's what he's praying, verse 21. "That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." The prayer for spiritual unity. Now we have to define what real spiritual unity is before we begin this message. Because there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding regarding unity in the church, unity in the body of Christ. It's a sad fact that Christians are often divided. Divided into schisms and sects and cults and controversies. It's amazing, even if someone seeking God would open the average religion section of a newspaper and look at all of the advertisement and all the different groups and all the different churches and all the different denominations and all the different kinds of religions, there is abject confusion all around. It's amazing that anyone gets to Jesus today. Because of all of this disagreement and all of this division, well, it's been going on a long time. As a matter of fact, Jesus' own disciples quarreled in his presence. Petty jealousies and envies and strife and pushing one another forward and climbing on top of one another on the spiritual ladder. And just as in that day, in this day, there is disunity in the body of Christ. And so Christ is praying for us today that we might have unity in the church at large, the worldwide family of God, but also specifically in every local biblical New Testament church. Unity is vital for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not speaking here, nor was of Christ praying that we might be in uniformity. There is a difference between unity and uniformity. Jesus is not suggesting that we are to seek some kind of ecclesiastical, ecumenical, kind of institutional, organizational Christianity. He's talking here about spiritual unity. Jesus knew full well, being omniscient, all-knowing God, that there would be distinctions within his church. There would be branches among believers. There would be different expressions, that we don't all worship just alike, that we all don't have to have churches with the same kind of church government or the same kind of church polity, that there are differences and distinctions on minor points of doctrine and non-essentials to the faith. But on the real essentials, on the foundational truths, on the basics of the Christian life, we will agree. So Jesus prayed in John 17:22 that they may be one just as we are one, just as God the Father and God the Son are one. Just as there is unity, there is also diversity. There is unity in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We worship one God. We don't worship three gods. But at the same time, there are different personalities and responsibilities within the Trinity. And therefore, within the unity of the Trinity, there is diversity. The same is true in the body of Christ, in the church. There is unity, there is also diversity. We bring different personalities. We bring different styles. We bring different approaches to our worship and to our faith. But it is in that diversity that the church is colored and shaped and made more beautiful for the world to see the glory of God. So when we speak of unity in the body of Christ, what kind of unity are we talking about? What is the secret of unity? Secret number one. We share a common gift. Look in John 17 and verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now there it is in one verse. What does it mean to have eternal life? To know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. We have shared together as believers in Jesus Christ a common gift. We share eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And all true believers, therefore, are united, unified in God's forever family. All who have trusted in Jesus Christ and Him alone for eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only Savior because He alone is the only God. And there can be no spiritual unity with those who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can two walk together except that they be agreed, says the Scripture. And if you trust Jesus Christ and Christ alone for your salvation and eternal life, you are my brother, you are my sister in Christ. Regardless of what brand name we may wear, regardless of what church we may attend, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, united spiritually, because we're a member of the same eternal family. We have trusted in Jesus Christ and Christ alone for salvation. But if you add to this salvation in Jesus Christ, if you take away from this salvation in Jesus Christ, then we are divided and we are separated, because unity is in Christ and Christ alone. It is in the adding to salvation that we have the cults and the various sects and all of those who have systems of religion that take the simple message of salvation and complicate it with their own systems and their own schemes and their own man-made traditions and their own human imaginations and ingenuities. And therefore you have all of these breakdowns in the Christian family when the central issue of Jesus Christ is distorted. So we are in the same family and we are one in Christ because of our belief in Jesus Christ. You see, at issue is the person of Christ. Who is Jesus? If you don't answer that question properly, you fail life's most important test. For no one can be saved. No one can have eternal life without confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, The Secret of Unity. God made you to live free, but sometimes it's hard to overcome the destructive emotions, habits, or addictions that can rule your life. That's why we want to send you two encouraging books from Pastor Graham, Breaking Free and Breaking Free from Grief. They're our way to say thanks for your donation to help PowerPoint proclaim the gospel. So call now to get your copies of these powerful resources when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And remember, if you miss any part of today's broadcast, you can hear PowerPoint with Jack Graham 24 hours a day at jackgrahamradio.com. Now let's get back to today's message, The Secret of Unity.
Not only is the person of Christ at issue, but the work of Jesus Christ is at issue. Look in John 17 and verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus was on mission, and that mission was to die on the cross, sent by the Father, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. It is in the cross of Jesus Christ that Christ is glorified. It is the glory of the cross. That God took a human instrument of torture and laid His only Son upon that cross, and Jesus voluntarily laid down His life and transformed the cruel Roman cross into an instrument and a symbol of great glory and salvation. And so it is the cross that is at central issue, the person of work and work of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ came to do, that only in the sufficiency of His finished work upon the cross are we saved. You don't add anything to that. That is what salvation is. And when you start adding, again, traditions and works and do this and church and baptism and anything else to the cross of Jesus Christ, you have splintered, you have subverted the true message of the gospel. And you're off into false religion. You see, the cross is what brings us together as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, in the same sense that the cross unites, the cross also divides. Because Paul said to the Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. Even in his death, when Jesus died upon the cross, he divided. On the one hand, a man who believed and entered into eternal life. On the other hand, a man, a thief, who didn't believe and died to face the judgment of God. The cross divides. Divides all of history. It divides all mankind. But it also unites, bringing us together in Jesus Christ. So how are we one? What makes us one? These are the essentials. These are the essentials of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be in the church of Jesus Christ. The sufficiency of Scripture, the authority of the Word of God, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and the very person of Christ, because the only thing we know about Jesus is in the Word of God. If the Bible's not accurate, if the Bible's not authoritative, if the Bible's full of errors, how do I know that the Bible's telling me the truth about Jesus? So it begins with the foundation of the very nature of Scripture, God's revelation of Himself, the sufficiency of Scripture, the first question that mankind was given, tempted by the devil, was this question: has God said? And a question mark was put upon the Word of God. And anytime you hear someone question the authority and the nature of the Word of God, you can know exactly where it came from. So there's the authority of the Scripture, but there's the person of Jesus Christ. This is essential. His virgin birth, His incredible, miraculous life, the miracles of Jesus. Because the miracles of Jesus are connected to the very nature of Jesus. The fact that Jesus performed these miracles, John said, were signs that He's the Son of God. So the miracles of Jesus, these are essential to our faith. And then the cross that we've talked about, the centrality of the cross, the finished work of Christ upon the cross, then His resurrection bodily and physically from that grave, His ascension, and His promised visible return. These are the non-negotiables of the Christian faith. And so we have the cross, and we have the resurrection. We have these things, so we can't reduce these to a bare minimum so that the world will believe. Because listen to this, a deluded, darkened world will never be influenced by a diluted gospel. I think the world today is saying, tell it to me straight. And if we'll tell people what the Bible says, they'll discover that it's good news. Hundreds and hundreds of people have said to me over the years, Pastor, I grew up in a church where I never heard the gospel. I never knew that Jesus died for all my sins. I didn't know that I didn't have to work and I didn't have to join this certain kind of a church, or I didn't have to go to this kind of a catechism, or I didn't have to say these certain prayers. I didn't know it was by grace through faith. Never heard it before. And now to say, thank you, God. And thank you, church, for telling it to me like it is. We are one because we share a common gift. We're one also because we share a common witness. Now we get to our witness. Look at verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Now, having settled the issues of what is essential, we're standing firm on the foundation of Christ and the apostles, the Word of God, the gospel of the living God. Having settled that, we present a united front to the world for the sake of our witness and for the sake of the gospel. The fact is, many churches are not doing that today. You look around, there are many churches that have been organized today, not because they were born in the fires of a revival, but because they were born in the middle of a church fight. Somebody got mad and left and started another church over here. Or some little group in the church had a certain little issue they wanted to get on, so they got out over here with their little issue. Not a foundational truth, but some personal prejudice or some particular bias. And we have all of these churches. I know a church in Oklahoma when I pastored up there that split right down the middle because half of the church wanted the piano on that side of the room and the other half of the church wanted the piano on that side of the room. And Jesus prayed that we might be one, that we would not divide over foolish preoccupation and selfish priorities, but that we would put aside those things indifferent to the essentials, that we might present to the world a strong witness of Jesus. Because when they see how we love one another, when they see how we're committed together as the body of Christ, they will get interested. And so in this united front, we stand. Away with infighting and backbiting and selfishness that divides. We share a common gift, we share a common goal, finally we share a common glory. Look at verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be one with me, that where I am, they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Glory. We share the glory of God. What's the glory of God? Well, glory means the extraordinary. It means a cut above. The Hebrew word literally means weighty. It means powerful. It means awesome. God has always been in His glory, and He always will be in His glory. And for 1 3-year period upon this earth, God's glory came down in the person of Jesus Christ. And John said, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And the glory of God was seen and touched, and the glory of God was nailed upon the cross. And even in His cross, He was glorified. And then in His resurrection and His ascension, now He's saying, I'm praying that one day, that where I am, they may be also, that they will share my glory. You know what? We have His glory now. The very Shekinah glory of Almighty God, the awesome presence of Jesus Christ lives in the heart, the life of the believer. We belong to His glory. We share a common glory. It's glory, glory, glory all around. And one day, we'll see His glory personally and together and triumphant as God's eternal church, even as Jesus prayed and promised, we will experience His glory forever. We share a gift. We share a goal. We're one in that goal of taking the gospel of Christ, and we share the glory.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, The Secret of Unity. How do you overcome destructive emotions and habits? What does it take to break free from addiction? Is it possible to experience peace after loss? Find biblical answers to these questions and more with Pastor Graham's two books, Breaking Free and Breaking Free from Grief. These encouraging resources are our way to thank you for your donation to help PowerPoint proclaim the gospel. So call now to get your copies when you give and start experiencing the freedom and peace God wants for you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. www.jackgrahamministries.org. Pastor, how do we as Christians reflect God's glory?
We are to live for the glory of God, and one of the ways that we do that, of course, is to glorify Him through praise and worship. One of the great experiences of unity in the body of Christ is to worship God together. That's so very important, and I want to challenge you to be active in a church where Jesus is exalted, where the Bible is taught, and where you can begin growing in your faith, and yes, growing together with others in your faith. We're not called to live the Christian life alone, but God has called us together in Christ, in His body, His church, among His people, to worship Him, to glorify Him, to praise Him, and to serve Him together. I know one of the greatest experiences of oneness and unity in the church is when we actually get together as a congregation and worship Him. At our church, we praise Him, and as a result of our praise, we experience a purpose and a power together for daily living. So that when we praise Him, when we glorify Him, it's more than something we do on Sunday. It's something we do every day. The Scripture says, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Give God the glory in your life. Praise Him. Worship Him. He deserves it. He desires it. And He demands it. Then obey Him through applying His word to your life every single day. That's another reason in the body of Christ we're to seek oneness and unity, because as we grow in our faith together, we're able to share with the world and show to the world what the Christian life really is, what it looks like, so that others can see the glory of God. So we reflect His glory. We reveal His glory through good works, through moral purity, through obedience, which honors Him. And then I want to challenge you, if you want to live for the glory of God, then seek Him above all else and all others every single day. Because do you know, the Bible says we are transformed internally when we seek Him. When we look into His face, we move from glory to glory and from grace to grace. You say, well, what does that mean? That means you start looking and acting more like Jesus every single day. And that glorifies God. Whatever you do, the Bible says, do it all for the glory of God. Not for your glory, but for His glory alone.
And that is today's PowerPoint. When you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's books, Breaking Free and Breaking Free from Guilt, to say thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Well, next time, Dr. Graham brings a message about how Christ's final moments on the cross changed the world. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.